It is with great pleasure that I introduce Dr. Stephen Ball. Let's welcome.
Good afternoon. So, I always hate it when people introduce you, you know, and they say things about you, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, or, you know. So here again, just want to take the opportunity to, you know, thank the Chamber for all the things that you do for MCS for us, and really kind of just tell you about how we're doing and, you know, what's going well and what areas we need to do a little work. And for those of you who know, I was a history teacher originally. You know, standardized testing is such an exciting thing that really every teacher loves to talk about. You know, standardized testing could truly be the bane of existence. You know, it's and I live in a household with two people who don't do well on standardized tests and really have terrible test anxiety. And so my daughter gives me great grief about standardized tests. And moving from Illinois to Indiana, halfway through high school last year, she got the advantage of taking a bunch of extra tests. She not only got to take all the junior tests, she got to take in all the things she would have done as a sophomore. And so, you know, I think if you take nothing else away from this, I think the key is standardized tests are a terrible way to measure and rate school systems, especially as we do it almost in a vacuum. That one test is so important. It's just not a good thing. It's not good for our students. It's not good for our staff members. And I really don't think it's good for the community as a whole. Again, the history teacher in me does like to always quote at least one of our founding fathers. And again, John Adams, I think, is probably one of the more underrated founding fathers. But again, very clear among the founding fathers was the need to educate the public and make sure that we had an informed populace ready to, you know, to participate in a democracy. And of course, that really hasn't changed. So we have one of our city fathers, so to speak, or city mothers, I guess, in this particular case, with Dr. Bailey. You know, it is really important still that we have good public schools. And it's the entire community's responsibility, I think, to make sure that we have the schools that our children deserve and our children need. Just want to talk a little bit about the scope of MCS. We basically serve kids right now from ages 3 through 22. Plus, we have a number of adult education programs as well. You know, right now we have about 5,600 and some students. We have just under 600 permanent staff members. We've seen a reduction about 24% over the last year. Part of that is because we've entered into partnerships with a number of vendors to provide our nursing services, our custodial maintenance services, and our food services. And then we're in 15 locations. We have 9 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, Camp Adventure, the Youth Opportunity Center. And so really, we're slightly smaller, but I think at the same time we're being more efficient, and that's really important for us. One thing that was clear when I got here, and as I sat down with a variety of community leaders, board members, administrators, was to try to make sure that our staff does a better job of representing the community it serves. And so, you know, one thing that it's very nice, you see over time our increase in minority employment, we're actually in a new high this year, at least since people started tracking, of 8.4%. Administrators now are 22% minority, and our teaching staff, unfortunately, is still only about 5.5%. minority, but we've really worked to try to grow that and try to make sure we can do more things to get teachers of color into our buildings. And we're the yellow bar actually shows the Delaware County average, and so we're above average, and I think that's a good place to be for us. In fact, not only do we think so, the national NAACP actually, the Muncie chapter, gave us an award, and there's a picture of Mr. Long, my board president, who's busy at Longfellow today, so he can't be here, gave us an award, and actually really, let's be honest, I had very little to do with all the work over the last decade or so to get this. However, one of the people who is really primarily responsible is right in the front row, so Dylan Phelps can stand up and take her bow. So, I mean, you know, In addition to serving as the Human Resources Director, until she retires, we're still trying to negotiate reconsideration of that. She's also served as our Diversity Director, and so one of the first things I did when I got here is talk to her and say, you know, we need to have a more diverse staff, and she's really taken the lead on bringing people of color into our buildings, and so I really want to thank her publicly for that. And again, we have a very strong staff. We have a lot of really good teachers doing great work every day. You know, you hear about all sorts of negative things. Every time one of our students gets arrested, you hear about it. Every time one of our students or our teachers get an award, that tends not to be front page news. I do want to point out one of the Northside Middle School teachers, Steve Spradlin, was awarded the Ball Brother Foundation Teaching Excellence Award for 2016. Thank you very much for that. He was really appreciative of the opportunity. And also, actually, Lisa Eckerty, who's a first grade teacher at Mitchell, was one of the two honorable mentions. So again, we have a really good group of teachers. We just need to do a better job of providing all the resources that they need and making sure that, you know, we do that in a way that's as fiscally responsible as we can. We also won an award for employee wellness. And again, this was an issue that Jay Julian came up with and said, hey, we need more people involved in wellness. And I said, you know, look at me, wellness is not my thing. But Deb Williams is very involved in wellness. And so Deb Williams, our CFO, has really worked with the chamber and gotten us recognized as a three-star Achieve Well company, which I think has helped you become Delaware County has been now nominated as a healthy community in Indiana. So again, thank you to Deb for that. You know, if you look at our enrollment, it's going down. That's been planned. I mean, the city of Muncie obviously has fewer people in it than it did, you know, 20 years ago. One nice thing is that we actually, even though we did lose about 250 students this year, we were actually slated to lose about 350. And so the yellow bar actually shows what the projections were as opposed to what we actually lost. So we're doing a little better than projections showed. And I think one of the things, and you'll see as we talk a little bit more, one of my goals really is to see what we can do to bring some of those kids back. Now, some of those kids have just moved out of state. They're probably not going to commute from Texas or Ohio. But we do have kids who are in other buildings and other areas, and we need to do a better job of really talking about the positive things that are going on in the Muncie Community Schools and bring some of those folks back to us. Our student demographics, again, we're about 30%. African American right now. Our Hispanic rate is growing up a little bit. One of our biggest challenges is about 20% of our students, a little over that, 22, are actually students who have been identified as having an IEP or some sort of special need. And those students obviously bring some additional challenges to us. I think the teachers who work with them will tell you they're great rewards working with those students. But that's about double what some of the county schools have as far as special needs. And so we definitely have a reputation for doing a good job of serving children who have special needs. A very small percentage of our kids are on free and reduced lunch, are English language learners, but that is a growing number. And then just about 75% of our children are living under the poverty rate. And so that's, you know, that's very important to try to make sure that we meet the needs of those children, because a lot of their needs aren't being met at home as well. And so we have to help provide those families with additional services. So, and again, I can't, first, I like cartoons. Second, I love to just identify the I-STEP. You know, one slide I don't have in here is a slide with our grades, our letter grades for the schools, because the state hasn't figured out what they are yet for this year, which might lead you to believe that there's some lack of validity to those. But I like the new I-STEP test there. Choose one, you can either fail or fail. I think our staff really feel that way sometimes. And again, comparing, you know, a school district that's at 75% poverty with a school district with 3 or 4% poverty, it doesn't seem particularly fair to me. Another thing I wanted to speak to is our student discipline issues. Actually, you know, one of the very first things that came at me when I got here was how we handled discipline and how we were efficient and effective in how we related with the juvenile court, with probation, and Ken Mace and the people from the YOC are here. And I think we've built a much more positive relationship. And I can't take any credit for it, but we have building administrators and people on Ken's side of the fence that really can. Discipline incidents overall were down 20% last year. A big piece of that is moving towards a more positive approach to discipline called PBIS, or Positive Behaviors, Interventions, and Supports. So instead of just telling kids a list of what they can't do, which we all know what happens when somebody tells you you can't do something, right? It's the first thing I want to do. When my wife says don't do, you know. Now, if she'd learned to say don't clean the gutters, don't cut the grass, what can you say? But that's helped. I mean, the spin is to give a more positive, hey, these are what we expect to be positive behaviors. And we're trying to reach out with our positive behavior program. Meridian's actually funded somebody to help coordinate that program. And we're trying to reach out to the after-school providers as well so that they're using that same approach. And so the kids are always seeing, you know, hey, this is what we're supposed to do, as opposed to these are all the things you're not supposed to do. And that has definitely helped us. That's the first time discipline rates have gone down in quite some time. Our juvenile court referrals were actually down 42% last year. And that, again, is the first decrease in several years. So I thought that was positive news. Food service improvements. I really can't say enough about our new food service providers. There was a lot of drama about doing this, but it's definitely been good for kids. We're serving about 1,800 meals more a month than we were serving last year. And we're actually making money in food service for the first time in many years. The number of paid kids who are eating has gone way up. The number of staff eating has gone way up. In fact, one of the first things that really showed me how much better Chartwell's was than when we did things in-house was we had staff members who had never eaten our food. I had one principal who told me, you know, I won't eat the food here. And I said, well, I guess I will know I'm successful when you eat something from Chartwell's. It took a couple of days for him to do that, but he did. And, you know, I had lots of teachers who said, well, you know, I've been here 7 years. It's the first time I've eaten. So that's a really positive thing. The food, the meals are good. One of my goals working with Jay is to have one of our Muncie on the Move meetings at Central High School so that you guys can all have the chance to eat Chartwell's food too. Now, again, it's not quite as good as what, you know, Caleb provides, but, you know, Caleb is cooking for a couple hundred. Stephanie Bond is, you know, cooking for about 6,500 every day. Stephanie Bond is our on-site director. You know, she's actually a Muncie girl, and so, you know, she grew up in the area, was working in Jacksonville, and Chartwell's thought to bring her up here, and she's been a great addition. We're improving the kitchens. I was at EWA right before I got here, and one of the chefs was there to tell me how excited she was that they were getting, you know, new ovens and stoves, and, you know, the first time we've had upgrades in our facilities and our kitchens for quite some time. And the other key is we're actually serving breakfast now for free to all children, K-8. And so every student, you know, and that's big. So, Negan, talk a little bit about our academic program. You know, one of the keys is got to be the focus on getting kids across the stage for graduation. That is our number one goal. You know, if we're going to be measured by any one single statistic, I would argue to measure our graduation rate. How many kids actually cross the stage? That's important. One of the things we've done to start focusing on that is trying to really start the focus on what are you going to do after high school much earlier. If you go through most of our buildings now, the teachers will all have next to their door not only their name, but also where they went to school. You know, and a lot of those are Ball State Cardinals, but not all. But that's important to tell the kids, okay, what is your next step? Where are you going to go to college? Not are you going to go to college, but where? And that's a real key. One other thing we did, and we started last year at Mitchell, was bring all the high school students from Central who went to Mitchell back to walk through the halls for, you know, their young peers to see them and emulate, hey, I want to graduate. I want to have that opportunity. And so basically they had a little parade through Mitchell for these kids. They came in their caps and gowns. Their retired teachers came in, the kids made signs, and the kids thought it was great. They got a chance afterwards to meet with the retired staff who had taught them. as well as, you know, see all those kids who really idolized them in their caps and gowns and thought that was really cool. And so, again, we're trying to put that focus earlier on what are you going to do when you leave high school, not are you going to do something. And our graduation rate is up. It's about 90%. I'm not necessarily thrilled with how the state of Indiana always measures graduation rate. I think there's room for improvement there. And our real graduation rate, I think, is a little less than that because of students who just select to homeschool instead of, you know, actually complete. The yellow line shows the state average, so we won't know what the state average is until about the middle of next month. But we're definitely improving, again, after the consolidation of the schools, and we're moving in the right direction. But again, it's not just getting them across, it's then getting them to matriculate to some other option after high school, because a high school diploma, generally speaking, isn't enough. That shows our college matriculation rate for the last few years. Again, that's a little variable just based on the fact that, you know, families' finances differ. You know, again, how many kids can project leadership get a hold of and make sure they get signed up for the 21st Scholar opportunity, make sure they get their FAFSA stuff done. But again, if they're not going to college, we want to know where they're going. What trade school are they going to go to? Did they get a certificate from, you know, the MAC that they can walk right into a job as a welder or a dental assistant, something like that. Failure rates are another important thing to review. And historically, I think our failure rates have been too high. And these show the last four semesters. You know, our failure rate at the high school was pretty high. Last year it got lowered, the year before, but you see, you know, we went from about a third of the students failing to now about 10% of the students failing second semester. And again, that's still too high. I'd like to see that number be less than 2 or 3%. I want kids who failed to actually work harder to fail, because I want to make sure we have the right safety nets so that kids can't fail, so that when they start to have problems or their issues, that there's something that intervenes to try to get them back on track. You know, we have automated credit recovery courses online for kids. We're trying to do a better job making sure kids get across the stage. But we have been able to, you know, just in the very short term, really have a positive impact, particularly on our high school failure rates. Southside Middle School, I think, has also done a great job, not only in reducing their discipline rates over the last couple years by about 60%, but also cutting their failure rates almost in half. And so that's really been very important. Extracurricular participation is another thing that I think is really important for us to help get kids across the stage of graduation. You know, and one of the things I told all our secondary principals when I came, we need to start looking at these participation rates, and this is something definitely that I'm going to hold you accountable for increasing them, because my goal would be that every single student at Central, at Southside, and at Northside has some club or activity that they really feel a part of. Because if they're more part of that, they're going to do better in school, all the math will support that, and they're going to be in school more often because they want to participate in those extracurricular activities. And so we've actually seen an increase. You see at Southside, you know, again, I think they've done a great job as far as really making a spike over the last couple years of improving their numbers. The high school numbers are up a little bit as well. Northside was already, you know, higher than Southside, obviously, but there's still room to grow there as well. But I think that's a real key, is that every student feels involved and part of the school beyond just going to class and going home. So, our athletics, you know, overall we had about 546 athletes this year. That's up from last year. I think we had about 505. We had 316 boys and 230 girls participate and earn a letter. And we actually had 621 kids try out, but again, we only kept about 400 or 550 of them. Most of that is basketball, because for some reason, everybody in Muncie feels that since they live in Muncie, they are going to be in the NBA. I'd like to get a few more of them thinking NFL. You know, Mrs. Faulkner and I have had that conversation many times. That there are a lot more spots on college football teams than there are on basketball teams, but we struggle to get kids to go out in junior high for football. But, you know, we've done a good job there. You know, West Lions was named the NCC Coach of the Year. We've had a number of kids go on to state finals this year. And so, again, we've got a strong athletic program. You know, the support for athletics in the community is fabulous. The volleyball team last year, you know, were the NCC champs. For 4 years in a row, they unfortunately lost a tight set of matches for the sectionals against Concordia from Fort Wayne. But again, we're definitely making an improvement there. And again, trying to get more kids involved because that will help us academically. Advanced placement participation is up quite a bit. The number of kids and the number of tests over the last 5 years, if you look, has gone up quite a bit. The advanced placement piece, you know, one thing we continue to need to do is to build a stronger program and really get not only more kids in the classes, but make sure that the rigor of those programs is really where it needs to be. Dual credit, which has been a partnership with Ivy Tech, you know, we've seen a huge increase in the number of kids involved in dual credit. Right now, actually 41% of the kids at Muncie Central are actually also Ivy Tech students. And so they're also in college effectively, earning college credit while they go to high school. And, you know, obviously our real goal is by next year, we'll have our first high school students actually get an associate's degree as they walk across the stage from the high school. So, you know, and it's one thing to get a bunch of credits. And, there, you know, a lot of schools have programs where you can get some credits and earn some college credit. But there is a big deal, there's a big difference, excuse me, between being, you know, going to college and saying I've got 45 college credits and I have an associate's degree. You know, an associate's degree is something in its own. And so that's really important. And I'm very excited about that. And we have to do a better job of working with Ivy Tech and making sure that we really do a good job of articulating what all those pathways are for kids. We've talked to Ivy Tech about not only having an associate's degree in arts, which is what we offer right now, but expanding that to offer an associate's in science as well for those kids who are looking to go into engineering or other sort of STEM programs, that we want them to have that same step up. Because even if you're not a 21st century scholar and you're not going to be able to go for college for free, there's a whole difference between paying for 3 or 4 years at Purdue and paying for 2 years to get your engineering degree. And so this is really important, I think. And again, Ivy Tech has not been anything but a fabulous partner in making this work, and I look forward to having them there in 2018 when their graduates are our graduates at the exact same time. So, and again, overall, when you look at the numbers, we've actually done some stunning work. You know, our number of students taking AP exams is up 82% over the past 5 years. That's pretty incredible. And again, that speaks to the work that our staff is doing. And again, the number of kids involved in dual credit because of the early college program we put in place, it's up 412%. Pretty good numbers, right? So, the Muncie Area Career Center, again, everybody isn't going to go on to a four-year school. And we have a lot of kids who have other options that they need. One of those, right now we serve about 360 students. That's up almost 10% from last year at the MAC. And it's the Muncie Area Career Center, for those of you who don't know, over on Elgin. And we serve not only MCS, but we also serve 10 other school corporations in Delaware, Blackhawk, and Randolph counties. We also have an adult ed program there, which we're serving right now about 630 adult learners. That's actually up as well. Last year we only had about 590 when I put these numbers together. About 275 of those are directly at the MAC, and the others are at various storefront sites throughout the region. The certification programs, again, everybody doesn't need to go to college if there's another option for them potentially at this point in time. The MAC program gave out last spring 198 industry standard certifications. So everything from things in dental hygiene to cosmetology, to welding, to fire science. And that's actually up. 2 years ago, we only had about 150. We actually had 149. So again, we added a couple areas as well. As far as certificates, they're working on the Project Lead the Way piece. So again, there's a lot of cool things that you think Random House there in the bottom right corner. It isn't just a random house. That's the house that our students from the MAC actually built last year. And then that house went, became low-income housing for a family. So very kind of, very cool opportunity. And again, one of the things we're doing at the MAC also is working with the child care program there to potentially expand that and make that one more preschool opportunity for us in the community. Unfortunately, our ISTEP grades are still embargoed right now, so there's no data on that, basically. But, you know, our trend, again, as everybody sort of expected, the new version of the ISTEP, as they retooled it, was going to drop most people's scores, and you can see that that's probably going to happen in this case, too, if you can use the graph even without pictures. But, again, we're still trying to work on what we can do to improve our scores across, again, back to you can choose to fail or fail. There are two options. I like that. And some of the other things we're doing at the elementary level. You know, there are a lot of cool things that we're working at. We talked about PBIS a little bit before. That's a really important thing we're doing to try to get kids in the right mind frame and to make sure that kids feel that they have opportunities to be successful as opposed to just be told what not to do. You know, some of the other things we're doing is continuing the extended learning program or the gifted program at EWA.